Thanks for listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Well, good morning again. My name is Joe, if we haven't had the opportunity to meet. And, you know, last week was awesome. How many of you guys enjoyed having Drive Into Freedom? Wasn't that an awesome event? And for those of you that didn't clap, I rebuke you in Jesus' name because you were at the lake and we all had more hot dogs than we could imagine. But it was an awesome day. We had an opportunity to be able to have our last big drive-in service and then follow it up with having a little bit of yard games and party. It was great. And, you know, that was an awesome, awesome day. But, you know, like so many things in our life, it's not just one thing at a time, right? Later that night, I got a call that I'd been dreading for a long time, to be honest, that my dad wasn't doing very well. And I made the hike up to Nuevo, and that started really a several-day process. And on Wednesday, my dad went home to be with the Lord, and gosh, I miss him, and we're going to celebrate him big tomorrow. It's going to be awesome, but you know, that was very, very difficult. When he was passing, and I found out that that's what's going to happen, I texted some of the wonderful people in my life, one of which was Pastor Tommy, and he said, hey, I'm praying for you. You can call me if you want to, and he proceeded to call me about 34 times over the next 3 days, and well, I did one time, and that was actually after my dad had passed, and he said, hey, I'm almost to Kentucky. I'm on my way up. You know, guys, I got to tell you, you don't have to ask family to get into your dirt with you and get into a hard spot. Family just shows up, and Christians are so funny. We don't know what to do, so we either give money or make food. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what you want, but I brought food, you know? Cindy, where are you at, girl? Keep bringing those cookies in Jesus' name. But, you know, he shows up, and he said, I'll do whatever you want. I'll just sit in the front row and amen you. And I said, what a relief. I said, would you please be willing to preach on Sunday? And he was happy to. So, New Chapel, would you please stand to your feet, put your hands together for Pastor Tommy Pinkerton. Thank you.
Love you. All right, give Jesus a hand praise if you love the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Good to be in the presence of the Lord here at New Chapel with all you New Chapelites. Amen. God is so good, and yes, he told the truth. I did call 34 times to no avail. But like Daniel, say amen, who prayed 21 days and didn't get an answer from God, amen, I kept calling. Okay, and he finally called me back. Amen. God, he's like the Lord. Amen. He just wants you to keep on doing it. Amen. Glory to God. But nevertheless, here I am, and it seems like I always do show up at just in the nick of time, and I always show up at the beginning of a new sermon series. Have y'all figured that out, that every time a new sermon series, ta-da, here I am. And what I'm going to do is what I do every time. I'm going to read the scripture that the sermon series is involved and is wrapped around, and then I'm going to just preach whatever the Lord says preach. Somebody say amen. Amen. Glory to God. So if you got your Bible, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. I believe it is chapter number 15, verse number 58, and I think they'll put it on the screen for you. And once again, it is so awesome to be here in the presence of the Lord with you guys. And as Pastor Joe said, you know, we will be celebrating the life of Phil Bevilacqua tomorrow at 12:30, I believe, is the ceremony there at Resonate Church. So if you ain't doing nothing, come and celebrate with us. We would greatly appreciate your support and your prayers and all of that good stuff. Somebody say amen. And it just so happens that Pastor Joe didn't bring this up, but the God had been speaking to him about a series that was going to be up and coming, and it just so happened to be coming out of 1 Corinthians 15, which if you look beyond the last verse that we're going to read the last verse of the chapter, but the whole entire chapter is talking about one of these days you are going to shed this mortal body and you're going to meet Jesus as he is. Somebody say amen. At the end of the day, do whatever you're going to do. You can't hold this thing. Amen. And that last verse of scripture there, verse 58, it says, therefore, My beloved brethren, be steadfast. Somebody say steadfast. Oh, okay, see, I got to help y'all. Y'all forgot. Hey, look, I ain't preached in 17 weeks. Did y'all know I haven't held a microphone in one hand and a Bible in the other for 17 weeks, okay? So y'all going to have to do something in here. I know y'all, though, however, y'all stayed at home about 3 weeks, and then the next thing y'all knew, y'all was like Fiddler on the Roof, except it was preacher. It was preacher on the roof, amen. Joe with a busted foot. I don't know how y'all got him up there on the foot. Up on the roof with a broke foot, but that man was up there preaching. Hey, aren't you glad, though, that you got a church that in the midst of adverse circumstances will say, we'll figure it out. We'll preach anyway. Amen. Say steadfast. Shout it out. Steadfast. You might as well shout now because it may not get the shout for those Wolverines. It ain't going to have no football. But okay, praise the Lord. Shout immovable. All right. Y'all sleep. Shout immovable. Y'all not serving coffee, are you? Y'all not serving the coffee? That's the problem. Y'all didn't get that coffee out there at the cafe. Shout immovable. And shout abounding. Say that again. Abounding. Aren't you glad that he gives us all this stuff? He says you're going to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and you do it and it's not in vain. It's good to know that you're connected to a work that no matter how hard it is to work, it's not in vain. And that you can do it with a steadfast, immovable attitude. And that's what I'm going to preach on today. And I'm going to always take you back. See, I like to give a little, Ed, some New Testament, but I like to bring it down home with the Old Testament. Pastor Joe always said, where are you coming out of the Old Testament? Believe me, I'm coming out of 1 Samuel 17. And it's going to be a story that all of y'all, if you were in Sunday school for 5 minutes, you only had to be in Sunday school for 5 minutes, and I guarantee you, your Sunday school teacher brought to you the story of David and Goliath. How many of you know that story? Say amen. I'm going to give it to you real quick. And so basically what is going on in the story of David and Goliath, that David is nothing more than a shepherd. He is taking care of his sheep. The children of Israel and the Philistines have been in a battle for about 40 days, the Bible says, and 40 nights. It's kind of crazy how they would do it. They would come down into the valley, whoop up on each other, then they would go back to their camps. Come into the valley, whoop up on each other, go back into their camp. But after every battle, before the sun would set, they would send a champion named Goliath. How many of you know that the enemy always has somebody that's a little bigger mouth than the rest? So the enemy always chooses the guy that's got the biggest mouth and looks the most intimidating. And even when the prophet Samuel described the guy with the big mouth, he said he was 9 feet tall. Amen. If you're 9 feet tall, you know you got a big mouth, right? And he got all kinds of armor that weighed as much as he did. He had a sword and a spear the size of a weaver's beam. He had his own personal armor bearer that would carry a shield that was so large he would stick it on the ground to hold it, and the Goliath could stand behind it. And every night, this enemy had only one strategy. He had only one plan. The devil never has nothing new. Have you ever figured out he never does anything new? His only weapon against the children of God was fear and intimidation. And don't you know that's what the devil's trying to do in the world we're living in right now? Fear and intimidation. He doesn't got a bark or only a bark. He has no bite. Only fear and intimidation. And Goliath stood there in front of the people day in, day out, 40 days, 40 nights, talking about, I'm going to whoop all y'all up in here. He says, send me a man that will fight with me. Just don't forget your army. Send me one man, and if that one man could whoop me, I'll give him everything. But if I whip him, I will take everything that belongs to you. And this went on for 40 days and 40 nights, and the children of Israel would go fight and then go hide in the corner. The children of Israel would go fight and then go find a safe place. Somebody say amen. Anybody in the room here at New Chapel? and the enemy would come and do. And finally, one day, David was also doing the same thing for 40 days and 40 nights. The young David was doing the very same thing his father asked him to do for 40 days, 40 nights. When his brothers got hungry, he would go, he would get some food, some cheese, some bread, and some good stuff, some Chick-fil-A, and amen, glory to God. And Pastor Joe said, food and money, y'all can keep the food. I'll take the money, and then I go do with it what I want. Somebody say amen. Okay, and so everybody was coming down, he'd say, hey, brother Eliab, you want some chicken minis? Amen. Hey, bro, do you want an 8-count Chick-fil-A, oh, Polynesian sauce? You want that? Say amen. And all of this stuff, he was coming, doing back and forth, doing the assignment that was given to him by his father. And in that assignment, he never missed a day. In that assignment, he was consistent. He was steadfast in the assignment that was given to him by his father. Somebody say amen. Touch your neighbor to be careful. Make sure you know they, like Joe said, they ain't got cooties. So if you're sitting by them, you must feel all right. So push on them and say, be steadfast. Be steadfast. Push them a little bit and say, be steadfast. Shake them if you want to. Toe touch. I don't care what you got to do. Do whatever. But say, be steadfast. David was steadfast. And one day David was coming out of the mountain, leaving his sheep. See, I don't like it when people do leave a post, but don't leave nobody taking care of the post that they left. If you're going to leave a post, you better leave somebody there in place to handle the post that you just left. Hey, y'all back there, y'all awake? Am I mic on or what? What's going on? And so he came down, and when he got down there, and she hears some things going on. And he sits there, and he looks around, and all of a sudden, here comes this big dude, Goliath, and he's hollering, you bunch of wusses, you bunch of wimps, I'm going to kick y'all's, you know what? And he's down there talking all that trash, and David is just trying to feed his brothers, and he's like, wait a minute, wait a minute. He's like, wait a minute, what? What's he doing? This dude, what? Did you hear what he just said? See, sometimes after you've heard something over and 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 over, you just kind of forget what they're actually saying because you've heard it so much. You grow numb to the critique and criticism of your enemy, and then it just doesn't bother you as much as it used to when you first heard it. I'm sure when the brothers first heard the railing of Goliath, they're like, I can't believe he said that. But then went back and hid. But I'm here to preach and tell you, when David heard the words that was coming out of his mouth, he said, there ain't no way that I'm going to sit back and let this dude talk about my God like that. I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to. No. You're not going to. You ain't going to act like that. And then his brother's like, look, dude, do you know why you're here? You just want to act like that you're going to be here in the battle, and you want to see. And I know David was like, what are you talking about battle? You over there hiding. What you talking about to fight? There's no fight. You're only here to show off and to act like you are somebody. And he said, here's the deal. Yes, that sounds good, but is there not a cause? Because here's this guy talking the way that he's talking, and this cannot be acceptable. David did not look at his fact that he was 9 feet tall. He didn't look at the fact that he had an armor bearer there that had a shield that was at least 9 feet tall. He didn't look at the weaver's beam of a spear that he had in his hand or the sword that was in his sheath. The only thing that David noticed about the Philistine was that he was uncircumcised. Say glory. Because that's what he said about Goliath. He didn't acknowledge the fact that he was a warrior. He didn't acknowledge the fact that he was a bad mamma jamma. He only knew the difference. The only difference between me and you, big man, is I've got a covenant with a God that is real. I am a Jew. I'm an Israelite. And you are not in covenant with the God that I serve. It doesn't look like good odds to me, but it looks like I'm a winner because I serve a God that has never lost a battle. I serve a God that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that is ever done or ask or think. I serve a God that is able. You're uncircumcised. You don't have covenant power. I don't got to be nervous because I serve a God that I'm in covenant with. Amen. And David looked around and said, this thing's about to go down. See, I like the stories in the Bible where there is steadfastness and an immovable spirit. We've got to be more than ever before in a time that we're living in like we live in. God is needing some steadfast, immovable warriors that will say, it does not matter, Nebuchadnezzar, what the decree may be up there. And you're going to be like, well, you're going to bow when the music plays. You remember that story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And Nebuchadnezzar, amen. And he said, whenever I play the music, you bow. Whenever I play the music, you get down and bow before me, the king Nebuchadnezzar. And there were three, the Bible says, three Hebrew boys who stood when all the music got to going, everybody simultaneously. Without even asking any questions, without any reservation, when the music began to play, they just got down and they bowed. And Nebuchadnezzar looked so pleased as all the sheep without a shepherd began to bow one by one by one. But John, as he looked across that large crowd of Jewish boys that had bowed their knee, there were three that stood up and said, well, I don't even like that music. Why would I bow? And they stood up there with their back straight and said, I don't care, Nebuchadnezzar, what you may say or what you may do. And I don't even care what everybody else is doing. I've got family members that are bowing. I've got aunties and uncles that are bowing. But as for me and my house, I shall not bow to the edicts and the decisions of Nebuchadnezzar. I will square my shoulders back and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My God is able to deliver. He is a white water walker. He's a devil chasing, sin erasing type of God. He turned graves into gardens and highways in the middle of the sea. That's the kind of God that I serve. I dare you to give God a hand praise right now. I give him the glory. And said, you might throw me in the fire. And if you do, no problema. Because you can't burn me. And I might get burnt up in the fire. No problem. God is able to deliver. And you know the story. That Nebuchadnezzar has a fire burned hot. And one thing about the enemy, he's so stupid, he'll burn up his own. He'll burn up his own because he sent the dudes to throw the boys in the fire and he had it so hot he burnt up his own folks. Ain't that like the devil? Don't he eat his own? Somebody say amen. Burn up his own folks. And then Nebuchadnezzar, David looked down in that fiery furnace and said, did we not throw three men into the fire bound and chained and confined and quarantined? But wait a minute, there's a fourth man in the fire, and it looks like the Son of God. I'm here to preach and tell you that whenever you get in the fire and whenever they put your back against the wall, fear not, for there's a fourth man in the fiery furnace, and he'll loose you and let you go in the middle of all of the things that is happening. He'll loose you if you're steadfast and immovable and always working and abounding in the work of the Lord. Somebody say amen. I'm contaminating myself up here. Somebody say glory. Y'all decide to scoot them up a little closer. You in the danger zone, amen. And believe me, I ain't gonna preach with no mask on. I ain't trying to hyperventilate up in here. Say amen. Did you get the Facebook post? Glory to God. Feel good in the Holy Ghost. 43 minutes and counting. Somebody say amen. David's like, hey, there's a cause here. We can't do this. And you know, Saul said, okay, you think you the man? All right, no problem. You the man. Did you know that Saul was, the Bible says, about head and shoulders above the rest? So though Goliath was 9 feet tall, Saul was about 7 foot tall himself. What did he have to be afraid of? But he knew that he was not he knew he wasn't the king of the Lord. He was the king of the people. Amen. There's a big difference on it. I said there's a big difference. And he said, okay, if you're going to go out there, though, and you're going to fight and you think that you're going to be able to handle him, okay, I've got some armor for you, that because you know the king had armor that was specific to him. And anytime the king would come in, you would know that he was the king, not because you could see his face necessarily, but you could see the armor that he had on. And even when people, they want to get the glory, but they don't want to do the work. I wonder, is anybody in the building right here, folk that want to get the glory, but they don't want to put into work? They don't want to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, not doing it. No, they don't want to do that. They just want to get the glory, 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 glory seekers. Well, I don't know if you've been watching anything around here, but now is not the time for glory. Now is the time to fight. Now is the time to square your shoulders back and say, well, I'm not going to bend, I'm not going to bow, and I'm not going to burn. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. He said, but he was good, but David was obedient. He said, I'll put it on for you. He put on Saul's coat. He put on his helmet, and it reminds me of when your little kid wanted to play T-ball, you know, and he put on that baseball helmet for the first time. That thing was like, whoop, all cock-eyed like this, all crazy. And you like, and he's like, man, and he's turning his head, and the helmet ain't even moving. I'm sure that's what David looked like as a boy putting on a man's uniform. And David, in the Bible, in the King James Version, Sheila says, I can't wear this because I haven't proved this stuff. See, too many people are trying to wear and be things that they haven't proved. I love Pastor Joe, but I'm not him. I love some of the mentors that I've had in my life, but I'm not them. I'm all by myself. Amen. I'm Thomas G. Pinkerton Jr., and I'm going to preach like I like to preach. I'm not putting on anybody else's coat. I'm not putting on anybody else's helmet. I'm not going to shoot anybody else's gun, because my gun fits right in my hand, and that's the one I like. Amen. And so I'm going to deliver it how I want to deliver it. And if somebody don't like how I deliver it, it don't bother me. You can praise me and say that's the best sermon that you've ever preached, or you can say that's the worst sermon you've ever preached, but it don't make no difference to me how you feel, because is there not a cause? Now's the time to stand up, to be seen, speak up, to be heard, and cry aloud and spare not. Somebody say amen. So he took it off. He said, no, can't handle it. And Saul's like, dude, he gonna kill you, dude. He said, well, while you were down here shaking in your boots, I was in the mountain taking care of the assignment that my father gave me. It didn't look that important to you that I was up there tending the sheep. See, every time, I said this at the end of the service, in the first service, I'll say it in the middle here. Every time the Lord needed David, David was exactly where the Lord told him to be the last time that he needed him. See, the reason that some of y'all say, well, I just want the Lord to use me. Well, the Lord can't use you because he can't find you. Well, I thought the Lord, I said, no. When the Lord calls, he calls to the place where he last left you. That's good preacher for a Georgia boy. Somebody say amen. I don't know why the Lord ain't using me, because you ain't where he left you. Ooh, Sheila, I got to come down there and say, glory to God. Shoo! How many of y'all football fans in here? We've got a couple football fans. And sometimes you get mad because the quarterback is throwing you like, who in the world did he throw it to? And you get mad at your quarterback, but it ain't the quarterback's problem, because the quarterback don't throw to people. He throws to places. He throws to the place where the receiver was supposed to be. And you think that God's going to bless you while you just... Come on, Lord, come on, bless me, Lord. Lord, bless me, bless me. God don't bless people that's on the move. He blesses people that are steadfast and immovable. Lord, here I am, because I'm right where you left me the last time that you spoke to me. Somebody give God a shout right now if you know he's able. Woo! He'll get you where you were. Stand still and see. Woo! Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He didn't say run around and see. Go from here to that way. The Lord, you know, Pastor Joe, Sister Kaya, you know, the Lord done called me to be on the worship team. And, oh, yeah, praise the Lord. And then I come and they tell me, hey, man, we got so-and-so on the worship team. And I come back and I'm like, where they at? No, they done left. Stand still. Oh, so-and-so is over here doing this work, and they're serving over here. Stand still. Because you want to be blessed, you better learn how to be still. Oh, good Lord. I got quiet in this Presbyterian church up in here. Got quiet in here. I dare you just to take your preacher finger right here. Take this one, not your driving finger. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise him. Your preaching finger, amen. And you need to point at the person you're sitting next to and tell them. And you don't got to be loud. You just got to whisper, I think he's talking to you. Just whisper to him, I think he's talking. I know she didn't say that to you. What did she really say? Never mind. I don't want to know. Okay. So, what do you got to stand still. And every time the Lord called for David, he was doing the very thing that his father had told him to do. And don't you get it twisted that this shepherd boy had no power on the inside, because he was a warrior on the inside. And when the prophet had came to look for a king, the Bible says that God spoke to Samuel the prophet and said, go down to Jesse's house and anoint the next king of Israel, because I'm no longer happy with the king that they chose, so now I'm going to choose a king for them. What'd he do? You know the story. All of Jesse's sons came out. I think he had 8 sons or 7. He had a lot. They all came out. He had a big old bucket. He was going to anoint them. And say, whoever the anointing falls on, that be the king. And it ain't out of that little canister. You know, I used to have a bullet. It was a bullet, but you could open it up and there was anointing oil in it. How clever is that? You thought I was going to shoot you. No, I'm going to pray for you. Praise the Lord. You do under the top and you do your little finger and you get a little bit of that oil on your finger, you know, all the way from Israel. Smells real good, frankincense and myrrh, and all the way from Israel. Oh, glory to God. And then you do the little cross. Praise the Lord. Okay. And then you pray for them. You know how you anoint folk with oil? No. That ain't how they did it in the Bible. When you got anointed in the Bible, you knew you'd been anointed. That junk be all down. There was a guy at a church I went to one time, and he thought he was a prophet. And notice how I said that. Amen. And he always did that. He did always pour it on people. And I messed up one day and got in the line. I was praying for other people, but he thought I was in the line for prayer. And he had one of the little thing, the little crystal, whatever it is, with the little lip on it, and it pours out. He poured that on my head. I had on a decent suit. It wasn't, you know, $10,000 or nothing, no suit like that, but it was decent. Oil down up on my suit. You know I got out of the Holy Ghost so fast. I was like, what the? Praise the Lord, saints, glory to God, you mother. Oh, you know, I want to punch that dude right in his neck. You know what I mean? Y'all, you want some hands laid on y'all? Pow, this suit, dude. You know, but David, all the boys, Samuel had to deal. He's trying to. Could you imagine having a whole vase of oil and trying to dump it out on it? It wouldn't even flow. Went to the next guy. Wouldn't even flow. This dude looks like he's a fighter. He looks good. Wouldn't even flow. And finally got down to the last boy. Nothing happened. And finally Samuel said, there's got to be another. See, when you just thought you were just standing still for no reason, God was preparing you for the greater battle. All the people running around, they doing all the small stuff. I like to call that light work. They handling the light work. But when God wants to establish a thing, he'll go for the guy that was doing what he was supposed to do the last time God spoke. Well, I do got a son. A little red-headed dude. Amen. The Bible said he was ruddy, light-skinned, red-headed. Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen. I got another son, but he's watching the flock. Well, bring him. He came down. You know all the other boys, they just standing there like, mm-hmm. You know they had stink face. They're like, here comes David. And as soon as he came down, Samuel went up to him, and he's like, well, let's see what happens. And all of a sudden, it flowed. But you know what? Sometimes you'll get a fresh anointing, but it ain't the time. That's where the struggle to stand still happens. You discover that you're the favorite of the Lord, and then all of a sudden you want to be on TBN. Well, it don't work like that. Sometimes God will anoint you to be king and then tell you to go back to where I found you. Be steadfast and immovable. Oh, my, 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 my. Well, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. God never asks you if you're ready. He just wants to know, are you in the right place when I'm ready? Man, this is good preaching right here. Is anybody taking notes? Good luck. Amen. Then we got the next thing happens, and here we are years later, and all of a sudden, here's the same scenario. David comes out and leaves the sheep, shows up, and now he's got on, and he looks at Saul. He said, well, while you were training these boys how to fight, I was in the presence of the Lord. And the same, did you know that I ripped a lion's throat with my hands? Because they tried to interrupt what God gave me to protect. You want me to punch you up? You want to get throat chopped? Talk about this guy to my face. You might end up with a right hook. Somebody say glory. Because, see, you got to learn how to protect what God gives you. And when Nebuchadnezzar starts talking about things that don't belong to them, man, that's good preaching, Pastor P. Man, you're a good preacher. Man, this is better than Facebook Live. Somebody say amen. Walking with Pastor P. Somebody, Amen. He said, while they were down here fighting, I was ripping a bear's throat. While y'all were down here training for this earthly war, I was doing a spiritual war, writing love songs to Jehovah. And while it seems as if that you can handle this blaspheme from this uncircumcised Philistines, you obviously don't have the connection to the Father that I have, because when I hear him talking about my Lord like that, it causes a holy indignation to rise up inside of me. I would love to let you get the credit, but nobody's going to get the glory but Jesus. Oh, I'm here to tell you, nobody's going to get the glory but Jesus. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that David went down and got 5 smooth stones from a river. Now, I have preached, Ed and Sheila, I'll talk to y'all. Is it all right? Somebody say amen. I have preached every sermon possible about those 5 smooth stones. I preached one time and I said, well, David went down to the river, which represents the Holy Ghost. Amen. And he got 5 stones. 5 is the number of grace. And I preach on grace. Grace to beat the giants. Amen. I one time preached, well, he went down and got five smooth stones because there's five offices. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor and teacher, and God's going to use all five to kill the giants. This is good preaching, right? In your life. And then I preached, everything you can do, you can preach five smooth stones, right? Oh, they were smooth because they were in a river. And the river has a tendency, if you stay in the river long enough, it'll smooth out the rough edges in your life. Oh, I like that right there. Amen. So let your Lord smooth out the rough edges in your life. Then he can use you as a sling and a rock to tear down the giant. You know, you can do all that, right? I'm just playing and preaching better than most folks when they're serious. Somebody say amen. And I preached every way as you could preach the five smooth stones. But then one day I heard a preacher say it like this. He said, and it was my pastor, he said, well, I can preach all these other things that the five smooth stones represent. But since we're preaching the first edition of the Steadfast, Immovable series, I need to tell you the reason David got five smooth stones is because he wanted to make sure that just in case he missed, he had another stone to shoot. Amen. He stayed there until he got the job done. He was steadfast and immovable. I don't know anybody that takes a clip to their nine and puts only one bullet in it. Nobody does that. I fill the clip up and leave it in the chamber just in case. Somebody say amen. And that's what David did. He filled up his pouch and said, I may miss the first time, but I'm going to get you. If the music would come up. Glory to God, I'm sweating like a stuck pig at a county fair. Had other ones that I wanted to use, but we are in church. And this ain't even a handkerchief. This is a stupid microfiber thing from my phone. What in the world? It ain't even working. It's just, I don't know, it's moving my sweat around. Amen. Yeah, look extremely clean. Wiped off all the imperfections. Better wipe a little longer. Amen. So you know the story. You got the stones. Saul said he's probably going to get you. He's been a warrior since his youth. He said he'd been trained to be a warrior since his youth. Very interesting that we raise boys while our enemy is training warriors since they were young. That's something, ain't it, to think about? That you raise, they're raising them since their youth. We as a church, we got to begin to raise our young folk up to be warriors, not to be patty cake baker's men. Roll them up, throw them in the pan. Say amen. We need warriors. You need to look at your kid and tell them to put down the iPad for 5 seconds and open up a Bible. Raise warriors. So that when the enemy starts hollering and lying and trying to rewrite history and trying to do all the things that they're doing, they're going to be like, well, that's not what the book says. It's not what the Bible says. It's not what my Bible tells me. Amen. Warriors. David ran. Goliath said, what, am I a dog that you would send a boy? But little did he know. He said, I don't come to you with a sword and a spear. I don't know everything about everything that's happening in the world. So I need to let you know. I don't know all the details. But I don't need to know, because I know one thing. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I don't know. I don't know the details. I just know in whom I come. And all the rest, David took that sling. I could see that he was winding it up. The Bible said Goliath was running towards him. Stand up against an intimidator and he will go after you. That's what's happening. Stand up and say something. I dare you. All of a sudden, I posted right now, today on my Facebook, from 1965, Paul Harvey did a thing, and not, y'all probably remember, I wasn't born. 1965, Paul Harvey posted on his radio broadcast, "If I was the devil," and what the devil would do. And do you know I had that up 10 minutes and Facebook took it off my Facebook page? Paul Harvey, Nebuchadnezzar, Goliath. Don't worry, I found it on YouTube and reposted that bad mama jamma and tied a bunch, and then I tagged a bunch of people in it then. Take it off everybody's. And it might be off by the time I sit down, it might be off. I'll find another one on YouTube and put that up. I will not be silent. And you'll find out that when you begin, that Bible says that Goliath started. Could you see a 9-foot tall giant with armor and everything running towards a little shepherd boy? And the Bible said David just stood there and watched. And said, "Hey, while you're running, I need to let you know I'm about to cut your head clean off and feed all your army to the dogs." Just saying. Pulled out his sling. As the enemy came, the Bible says he let that rock go, and where that thing went, bang! Turn out the lights. The party's over. The Bible said he felt, "Ange, you've been pretty calm until just now. I heard you." I think because you're sitting next to Dan, he kept punching you and telling you to be quiet probably while you was laughing and stuff. I understand. The Bible says that big Goliath fell down face first in the mud. That's what we're going to do to our enemies. Keep on keeping on. Go ahead. Talk all that trash. You're going to be face first. Blah, 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 blah. Gurgling in your own mess. Amen. Then it said, the Bible said he killed him. Game over, right? No, he killed him again. Look at your neighbor and say, "Twice dead." Because not only is, see, that's what I like about New Chapel and the man of God and the woman of God that you have here, is because they're not going to be satisfied with just killing the enemy. He's going to kill him again. "Oh, you going to lock the doors? No problem. I'll climb up on the roof." You can't lock the roof. I'll climb up on the roof, broke foot, everything going crazy, and I'll drag myself up there, prop myself up, get a megaphone, a speaker. "Oh, what if it rains?" No problem. Day in the car. I'm going to preach the word. And I would watch week after week after week, hands slipping outside of the window with hands lifted up in a parking lot full of people wanting to hear the gospel. Why? I'm not going to bend to you, Nebuchadnezzar. I'm not going to bend to your edicts and rules and regulations. I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I know I've got the power. I don't come in the Republican Party. I don't come in the name of Donald Trump. I don't come in the name of Democrats. I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And I dare you. I double dog dare you. I'm going to preach, 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 preach in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a shout right now. Grab the enemy's sword. Eddie, grab the sword of Goliath. Say, "While you face down, I'm going to make sure you don't ever get up." And then he took the sword of the enemy. A young boy who had never held a sword in his hand, only a staff. But this was signifying that he had been steadfast long enough, that now was the time. See, he worked with his hands first. Then he worked with a stone. And now God is going to elevate him to work with a sword. The process of war. Hands,
stones, swords. I could imagine if we were there. Never done this before. But lifts up that sword. Off with his head. And I like David though. See, y'all thought he was all just a little shepherd boy and everything. That he was just all soft. He wasn't soft. He was a bad mamma jamma. Because he bent down, grabbed a man's head. I don't know how heavy a 9 foot tall man's head would be, but he probably got a big old bobblehead. Because David was a bad boy. He said, you want to talk? I got you. Coming back home. That's what the Bible says. Look at this dude who is defiling the armies of the Almighty. This is what I got for you. If you want to defy the armies of the living God, if you want to defy the armies of the living God, this is what I got for you. Jehovah not only will kill you, but he'll remove the head so you cannot grow or go again. I've got to preach and tell you, if you stay steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, it's not in vain, because ultimately, God is going to give you the head of your enemy. I've got to tell you, the devil should have killed you while he had a chance. But the fact that you're here, hearing the sound of my voice, is proof we've got some Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's in the building today that will say, I ain't going to do it. Look at your neighbor and say, I ain't going to do that. No. I ain't gonna do it. Why? Because you ain't gonna talk about my daddy like that. I said, you ain't gonna talk about my daddy like that. Say amen. Stand up to your feet. Whew, I'm sweating out up in here. I hope P.F. Chang's is open. Be like, okay, I'm ready to eat. Praise the Lord, I'm ready to eat. Your pastor's calling me names while I'm up here preaching. We're going to sing this song. I'm going to stay up here and hang out with y'all for a few moments and holler a little bit in Jesus' name. We're going to sing, but it's tempting during times like this to not be steadfast and immovable. Well, Lord, I don't understand. Stay still. Well, they're not doing what I thought they should do. Who has? Well, I don't know if I really appreciate the way that I... Hello? Welcome to what they call life. I'll come over here to this crew over here. Y'all look like y'all are happy over here. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I just don't understand why. An immovable force. Be steadfast. And say, come hell or high water, I shall not be moved. Well, I don't know why the Lord didn't heal him. Well, Lord, I don't know either. I don't know nothing. Do you understand me? I don't know not a thing. The only thing that I do know, and I probably quote this song every single time I preach, but I'll quote it right now because I want to, and I still got the mic. Say glory. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. I've got to tell you, God is looking for a group of people here at New Chapel that will be immovable. Steadfast. Because if you stand still, my man back there, if he gets in a pose, and I came back there and tried to move him, he's lost a lot of weight. But if I come back there and run up on him, I'm probably going to be out of luck. Immovable. If I come over here and try to take Dan out, he gets his shoulders squared up, I'm probably going to be in trouble. Because he's immovable. That's what we need to be. How many of you have been feeling the winds blowing on your house? You know what I mean? You've been feeling it. And you're like, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've just given you the formula. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now's not the time to be like, That was for Pastor Joe. He said, how? I said, okay. But we're going to sing this song. And I want you to sing. I want to hear your voices. I want to hear you sing, especially when they get to that good part that he makes. Graves in the gardens, highways in the sea. And I'm going to stand over here like I'm a part of the New Chapel praise team. Don't turn my mic down either, because I'm going to sing. I got y'all. Last time they turned it down when the music started. Glory.
And I searched the world.
Come on.
But it couldn't fail me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Ooh. Then you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied in hearing your love. Hey, oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Shame in the glory. You're the only.
glory, 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 glory. He's the only one who can. I said he's the only one who can. He's the only one who can. If you're in the middle of an impossible situation right now, no problema. He's the only one who can. He's the only one who can. The children of Israel, they wanted him a king. God gave them what they asked for. Sometimes the Lord will do that and give you what you asked for, but didn't give you what you needed. Have you ever got what you asked for, but didn't get what you needed? Say amen. See, God is the one that is able. If you, I want you to do this. We're done. I'm getting ready to turn this over to Pastor Joe, and we're going to go eat somewhere. Amen. But I want you to stand. I want you to plant your feet. Plant them real good. Get steadfast right now in Jesus' name. I said get steadfast right now in Jesus' name. Get immovable right now where, man, where I might jump down here and try to move you real quick. You know I ain't afraid to jump down off you.
But you got to stay in the camera shot.
I gotta be steadfast. Ding. And immovable. You immovable? Now take your hand and try to move your neighbor a little bit. Why are they like that? Just don't be too rough, but you feel they stay. Oh, somebody cheats. No. But see the just a little. Steadfast. Immovable. That's the stance you need in the spirit. When you know those football players, they get ready because they're steadfast, immovable. And when the enemy comes, you don't got to run, you just stand still. Got my sling, got my rocks. I don't fight like you fight, but this looks good to me. Plant your feet. Sling your sling and let the Lord do the rest. And at the end of the day, when the storm is over and the smoke clears, because I'm waiting for things to go back to normal. Oh, no. I don't need normal. I wonder what the apostles thought when Peter wrote that letter and sent it out to the churches of Asia. When he said, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is roaming about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But what was crazy about that, Dan, is that when that letter was getting delivered, Nero was the emperor of Rome, cutting the heads of Christians and dipping them into wax. Then would put them up on a post. And that's where the word Roman candle came from, was from the Christians' heads that were cut from their shoulders and then used as lights to the city. So when Peter sent that letter and they received the letter, David, they received the letter, and as they're reading, Peter, our apostle, said to be vigilant because our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion. And they would pause as they might have remembered their cousin being devoured by a lion. They'd stop a minute, clear the tears. But we got to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Lift your hands towards heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I give you the praise and the glory that is due your wonderful name. And Lord, in these times and in this season, oh God, that you would raise this church up to be the ones that would show the world what it looks like to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that it is not being done in vain. God, in the name of Jesus, if there's anybody in this room that they've never accepted you, they've never said yes to you, oh God, they've never said yes to you as the Lord of their life, Father, in the name of Jesus, may they do that in this moment. If you're here in this room and you're feeling something brewing down on the inside of your gut, you feel it down, it's the Holy Ghost trying to tell you it's time to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, draw people closer to you like never before. And God, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it forever and forever and forever. In Jesus' wonderful name. If you love the Lord, give the Lord a big hand clap. How many of you know I love this dude right here? Man, I will come at the drop of a hat. When I got word, I got in my truck. And my wife came home from the store and she saw my suitcase on the bed, with all my shirts and my shoes and everything in there. Socks, these are new. I just got these. Somebody say glory. These are brand new. Got them at, had to wait in line to get into the express. Anyway, praise him right now. Oh, good, good, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So, and I got in my truck, and I just came. Didn't even ask nobody, because usually I don't ask for permission. I just show up. Amen. Because I thought, man, there's not a better place for me to be in a moment like this than here with our new chapel family. Because the Bible says that when one member of the body mourns, now y'all know, y'all been trying to text Joe, trying to tell him, send him your condolences and everything, but look, that man ain't even answering my calls. Oh, I'm sorry, I started to choke you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. But now is a good time, amen, for you to stretch your hands towards the man of God. That's what I want you to do. Stretch your hand. Kai, come on up here. Woo, pregnito here. So, see, we're doing this so you don't have to come up with some bizarro scripture to try to share with Pastor Joe after service. Say amen. I've been in this thing for a few minutes. You know what I'm saying? And everybody's got to get past. You know, you got good intentions. Well, the Bible says. No. We don't need the Bible. We're just going to pray. We're going to pray, right? Because this is a time that we know that the Bible says that he is Jehovah Shalom, our God of peace, and as strong and steadfast and immovable as this family is. It's been through a lot of stuff. Amen? But guess what? The best is yet to come. The best is coming. But let's pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, God, we lift up the Bevilacqua family. God, we lift them up in the name of Jesus during this time of loss. But God, we just thank you that God is really not a time of loss, because when you lose something, you don't know where it is. Oh, glory. But God, we haven't lost the man. God, heaven has gained someone, but we know where Phil is, so we haven't lost anybody. We know where he is. And God, in the name of Jesus, while we wait to meet him in the clouds of glory or in the air with 10,000 upon 10,000 of the Lord's saints, God, we pray for this family, that God, that you would help them in all the practical things that have to be done in a time like this, oh God. Every paper that needs to be signed, all the business that needs to be handled, oh God. And Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would give them supernatural peace. That God, that even tonight you would give them rest that they've never had before, oh God. And God, as we stand in that church tomorrow at 12:30 to honor the legacy of a man, that Father, in the name of Jesus, that souls would be saved. Even tomorrow, in the name of Jesus, God, in honor of a man that every time he met a new person, he say, are you born again? Oh God, strengthen the Bevilacqua family like never before. And God, will give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. If you love the Lord, give the Lord a praise in Jesus' name.
You don't have to ask family to get into your dirt. You don't have to ask family to cheerlead them to get into your problems with you. Thank you for being a father in this ministry. Thank you. I know we went a little bit more than we normally do, and I'm glad that we did. I think God did some heart work in people's lives. I'm excited to preach next week. I'm excited because God has called this church to be steadfast. He's called every one of us to be. Don't forget, at the end of the month, we're going to have a rally point for all Go Team people. We want you there. If you're interested in joining the team, we want you there. Be steadfast with us. Can I get an amen? We want you to be part of what we're doing here in Grand Rapids and all of that. Listen, I want to pray for you from my heart. Pray for me this week. Amen. I want to pray for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you. Be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And as you go, have an awesome weekend. I love you guys.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.